The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
My next guest, Hedley Thomas, is going to be at the West Cork Literary Festival in Bantry on Tuesday, July 16th. What he's going to be talking about is his role in a remarkable criminal investigation. Now, his role was absolutely central because his scepticism and investigation was what led to the prosecution of a murderer 40 years after the murder. But interestingly, the story that he told found such a big audience that it might also have been what collapsed the prosecution because it was so well known. He joins us today. Hedley, how are you?
Hi, Anton. Thank you for having me.
Hedley, can we start with your original suspicions? This is the case of a young mother who, doting mother, disappeared without trace in 1982, leaving behind her kids and her rugby star husband.
Yeah, and that was a big part of the original skepticism. A young and doting mother. She also had very close ties to her mother and father, her siblings, a house that she was incredibly proud of, but most of all to her little girls. And young, doting mothers without extreme problems in their lives, without enormous challenges such as drug addiction, do not abandon children to just start new lives like, you know, drug barons or mafia bosses. They don't do that. They have in all human experience a very powerful connection to their children. And when you have a situation such as this where the husband had a lot of motive and a lot of things going on that he was not revealing, the story was, for me, completely implausible that Lynn would have just taken off.
Now, one of the things that he wasn't revealing at the time, but that emerged fairly soon after it, was his other relationship.
He was a school teacher at a high school on the northern beaches of Sydney. And in 1980-81, he was grooming schoolgirls, and one in particular in whom he became completely obsessed. Her name, well, we refer to her as JC now because for legal reasons that's more appropriate in Australia. But back then she was 16 years old. She came from a troubled home. She had vulnerabilities that made her absolutely ripe for his grooming. And Chris Dawson was a powerfully built, charismatic figure with a big reputation as this former first grade footballer. He was also an identical twin, and he was in modeling advertisements. He was on television regularly. In his retirement from first grade football, he was still playing a very high level of football for a local team. A lot of the students found him really cool, and this particular girl, because of her own circumstances at home with an alcoholic stepfather who was punchy with this young girl's mother, cramped flat near the beach, lots of issues. She was probably more motivated than other girls would be to be looked after. And he presented himself as a counselor. He was going to help her with her problems until he introduced her to his home as the babysitter and then installed her in the home to live with him and his wife and their two girls.
Now, explain the bit that everybody will be wondering at this point, Hedley, which is, how was this not a slam dunk in terms of police suspicion? Because whenever a spouse goes missing, the first person you look at is the bereaved spouse. And if that bereaved spouse then moves off very quickly to establish another relationship, red flags should be going off right, left and centre. Why weren't they?
Yeah, how was it a slam dunk? It's just unbelievable, even for the age, the time, the period. But I think sports stars in Australia, at least in that era, they got away with stuff that they wouldn't have got away with now. And there were connections between Chris Dawson and local police that clearly counted for something. A very senior detective who was involved in the Belrose Eagles rugby league team that Chris Dawson played for, he was looking out for Chris, and he helped Chris get this new role in rugby league. And he also helped Chris make his first statement, written statement, after his wife's disappearance. There are other police who just seem to take Chris's word for it. And because Lynn's parents live some way away on the other side of Sydney, and they were very trusting in a naive, I have to say, kind of way, and they acknowledge that now. They were themselves very much in awe of Chris. They loved him. He had been welcomed to their family, and he was someone that they had respected, and they weren't aware of his conduct with the schoolgirl. They weren't aware until sometime later. So it took them a while to appreciate what was going on, but for a long time, the cops just treated Lynn as a runaway mum. They didn't want to consider foul play as the most likely scenario.
And I was going to say he effectively got away with it. He literally got away with it. He was away scot-free, and decades passed, and then into the mix came Hedley Thomas. How did you get involved?
Yeah, look, I had been suspicious of this case since I was a much younger journalist. And in 2001, I went to Sydney and reported on an inquest, a death inquiry, because at that time, still nobody, and a presumption that Lynn had died. By 2001, some good people in the criminal justice system had begun to become concerned about what had happened to Lynn. And so the inquest was designed to try to gather some evidence that might be usable in a future proceeding. And I thought it was an intriguing case. And I went to Sydney and pulled the files and was introduced to a lot of material by a very good and hardworking detective who realized that Dawson had got away with murder. And he shared with me all of the statements, the entire police brief of evidence. And back in 2001, I thought this was a case that was just so damning and needed a really forensic analysis and front page and significant treatment. And I gave it that. And then I wanted to write a book about it, but unfortunately, with young children and other challenges, I never got to write the book, but I kept the files and I stayed in touch with Lynn's family. And then in late 2017, so many years later, when podcasting had become more mainstream and this new technology was giving journalism an opportunity to do big, deep dives into cases that were compelling and crying out for proper treatment, I just thought, this case, I would I've always wanted to revisit it. This would be the one. And I was able to find the files. In fact, my son was. I put him on a ladder up into the roof space of my carport at home, where I kept all these files in boxes and crates, and he finally retrieved the Lynn Dawson file from there from 2001, and I got started on the research and interviewing for what became my podcast.
That podcast, of course, was the hugely popular Teacher's Pet, full title The Teacher's Pet, which was hugely popular and influential, not just in Australia, but around the world, and is obviously available still for download if anybody wants hours of detail on what is a very fascinating case. That culminates in his prosecution, but then you must have found yourself in the most awful position when a lot of the analysis said, well, this has contributed greatly to there being a prosecution, but it also makes it very difficult for him to get a fair trial because it is so popular and so well known.
That's right. The case was downloaded many tens of millions of times, and it seemed like every other person, perhaps more than half the population, at least it seemed anecdotally, of New South Wales, where a trial would need to be held, had heard the podcast. And everybody who heard the podcast was absolutely convinced that he was a guilty killer who had got away with murder because of the failure of a criminal justice system. So his lawyers used that to their great advantage. They said that because of the way I had turned this true crime case and investigation over 16 episodes into such a popular piece of storytelling and journalism, and because I had expressed my own strong views, that the system had failed Lynn and that Chris had had beaten it and was a cold-blooded killer, that he should effectively get a free pass, that he couldn't have a fair trial and therefore it was all my fault. And this debate turned into a very powerful legal challenge in the Australian system, and it went all the way to Australia's highest court, and the judges there rejected it, as the judges had in the lower courts, and Chris Dawson was told that he'd have to get ready to face a murder trial, which was held in 2022.
And his sentence?
He got 24 years, and he will, the judge said, likely die in jail. He also lost his appeal, which was held several weeks ago, and the judges of the appeal court firmly and unanimously rejected his bid for freedom.
I was intrigued by some of the analysis and discussion around the podcast, and some of it said that there were quotes from people saying things that you had overstepped the mark by shifting from objective reporting into pushing a specific agenda. On reflection, is that the role of a journalist? Should you be, and this is an open question, not a straw man, should you be in the position of trying to right wrongs or deliver objective reportage?
Yeah, Anton, I believe that there are some exceptional cases where something that hasn't been resolved for more than 3.5 decades, which would never be resolved if it were not for some pretty robust front foot reporting and commentary and analysis, that those sorts of cases, and they're rare, demand that journalists take an extra step to go further than they would otherwise will usually go. And I believe that the result vindicates the method. It was risky. It was a high wire act sometimes, but I always believed that justice would eventually prevail. I gave him every opportunity to have his say, but he didn't take it up. And it wasn't my fault that the evidence was overwhelmingly against him.
It's a remarkable piece of work. I mean, the end result being justice done, but also a once-in-a-generation journalistic story. Hedley, thank you so much for coming on. Hedley is going to be at the West Cork Literary Festival in Bantry on Tuesday, July 16th. That's Hedley Thomas. Thanks again, Hedley.
Thank you, Anton.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.